Welcome to season 2, episode 4 of Recollect. Y'all are really in for a treat with this one. In our last episode, Natasha Thomas and I ended up talking about some of the stresses in a Black woman's body that can impact her ability to healthily bring a child into this life. And so this episode is a really good roll off from that, as Shirley Smith and I talk about the book that we collaborated on, her memoir, Mama Bear. And this is an excerpt from a recording that was done at her reading here at her Story Garden Studios on October 24th, 2021. This one really deserves some curating, you all. You're about to hear and listen into a conversation where a live audience and a Zoom audience are having a beautiful conversation with Shirley about forgiveness and multi-generational healing, and where I talk with the audience about all of the ways that our vulnerability and our ability to bring forth our stories can help our whole families to heal. I can't wait for y'all to take part in this. Listen in, and remember that Recollect is member supported, so drop some coins.
Progress, I'm progressing, but if I want to be forgiven, if I ask for forgiveness, I have to freely forgive. You have to freely forgive. And I don't know where I was talking or where I was, but I said, everybody's so quick to say forgiveness. They say it, but they don't know that's really the truth. Oh, forgiveness is not for the person, it's for you, but it really is for you. Yeah. You unlock so many things when you forgive. I fall short every day. And the grace that I'm given, who am I not to forgive? I'm not walking around judging no more. And I forgive. And once I realized that freedom of forgiveness, when you really do it,
Yeah.
Now people be around here faking like turkey bacon. And but you know what it does for you when you really practice it, yeah, and you mean it within your heart. When you mean it within your heart, like, so my bishop always say, you know, look at your heart, you know, keep your heart right. But yes, forgiveness is not an easy thing. No, it does not happen overnight. It's a work in progress. It's a daily practice. Even when you ask for forgiveness or you forgive, you have to ask God for forgiveness. If you still have a thought or you go back to that mind frame or that mindset, like, man, no, it's daily. It takes work. That's why people don't want to get help. They don't want to heal because it's a lot of work and people don't want to do the work.
Yes.
You have to do the work, but everybody not going to do it. They not built for it. That's another time and session. Yeah. But yes, grace, you have to extend grace and you have to allow and give yourself grace. And understand that you're not perfect as well. And, you know, as long as that word that I used earlier is that accountability piece, it all intertwined.
Yeah.
Hand in hand. You know, I hold myself accountable for that. Yes, I was wrong. I apologize. You know, can you find it in your heart to forgive me? You know, I'm very big on that. Asking for forgiveness and meaning it. Yeah. Not just, oh, I forgive you. No, I forgive you. I rock with you. What's up? What are we doing?
Yeah, and not doing that thing of forgiveness and forgiving, and then saying, okay, where's yours for me? You know, it's not about that. It's about setting yourself free and letting go and learning whatever it is that you are to learn in that moment, and whatever it is that you, however it is that you are supposed to regrow and understand your discernment about your path and what you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
And when you notice that you have tripped up, you have hurt somebody, you know, and even if you know that they have hurt you too, you know, it's not about, you know, okay, so I forgave you, now where's yours from me?
Right.
It's not, you know, you can't.
Not a tit for tat.
Exactly. Because that's like, that's like capitalism, right? But you can't, it's not like you're gonna like give somebody something and be like, now you better give me back something. You don't know where your blessings are gonna come from next. So it's not like that person who you have forgiven owes you anything. They don't actually owe you anything. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people get tripped up about. But that's a beautiful question that Maya has.
Yeah, it is. Like, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an absolutely beautiful question. That forgiveness happens a lot in the book.
you know, over all kinds of different circumstances, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that speaks to the beauty and gracefulness of your spirit, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that answer. That was amazing. We haven't gotten any questions in the chat yet, so maybe questions in person to start with.
Yeah, you guys have any questions? Because I have some that's written down that I have from our readers, some folks who have read the book who emailed some questions. One is in the beginning, you're taking for granted the body's calm, and let me see if I can make sense of it.
Okay.
In the beginning, you're taking for granted the body's calm until the generations of trauma have unleashed. And I think that's in some of your wording at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now to keep that trauma in your body managed? That's a good question.
You had to ask me that one more time.
Basically, I think they're speaking to, there's a passage that's early in the book
mm-hmm.
that talks about that when you're like, you're calm, you're going along with your everyday life. I think mm-hmm. it's in the beginning of chapter one. And life is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you know, it's like New Year's Eve. So mm-hmm. It's a new chapter one and New Year's Eve. You know, everything is good. Everybody's mm-hmm. happy. You got family. You have all the things that you haven't had before.
Okay.
You know, so the body is in a good place.
Right.
But inside, you don't know this is happening, you know, because you got a little baby in there. Inside, the body is actually beginning to responding to some of its trauma while the body is calm.
Mm.
And so I think what this person is asking is in the beginning of the book, where we see that happen, where it's like, wait a minute, she finally has what she needs in life.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the body? You know, why is the body responding to trauma? And so this person is asking, what do you do now
mm-hmm.
in your life to keep the trauma in your body managed?
Mm.
You know?
Oh, okay. That's a very managed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yes. practicing like self-care.
Yeah.
And when you talk about trauma come in many forms, and it could come from like your past.
Yeah.
Some present, you know, you have, what do you call those triggers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of that good stuff. But for me personally, if you can identify, what I noticed that helped me is not being afraid to dig,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I needed to dig deep to find out what I found out about like family mm-hmm. and relationships and stuff like that. But I just think the core of learning, you know, identify your core womb.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. once you identify your core womb,
mm-hmm.
which I identify for myself is, I felt like for all of these years, I didn't matter.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't matter. That's why my mom left me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I had issues growing up, and because I didn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. the situation in the book with my dad and just a whole slate of things. I felt like I didn't matter. But when you choose you, even before your children,
mm-hmm.
you have to be selfish.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, just it's not being selfish in that manner. It's saying self-love is ruthless.
Yeah.
Because self-love say, I choose me over you every time.
Mm-hmm.
And once mm-hmm. you get to a place where you can do that and practice self-love, whether it's on this level and it'll get bigger,
yeah.
then you can kind of like put a finger on the trauma. You can put a finger on what's going on with your body. You can identify because now you made room.
Mm-hmm.
You're clear. You made room
mm-hmm.
to be one with your body. But like if you're, you know, numbing yourself or you're feeling boys or you're just getting by or just hanging on or hanging in there or keeping my head above water,
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff.
Yeah. And you, so you, mm-hmm. so you better preach it because those of y'all who are on the call, who do workshops and stuff and those of y'all who are out there who doing the work, you're doing the work, but you be looking at me sideways when I say, you know, we're going to go down to the initial wound, and you'd be like, I don't know, Zelda,
mm-hmm.
I don't really need to do that. You know, like, what can I do and not do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, well, not much. We have to go there.
That's the
so, yeah, because if you have your hand on that, I call it the breaker switch.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, you're having all these like electrical responses. You're like walking around, you know, you're doing your robotic thing every day. You have all this stuff going on in your life. You're reacting to things. You're seeking different kinds of relationships. You're just mm-hmm. motivated by all this electricity in your body. And there is a breaker switch mm-hmm. that is down, way down in there, you know, and it's the thing that's causing you to operate in ways that you don't want to operate. Mm-hmm. And if you can put your hand on that, mm-hmm. that's your power. Mm. You live that. It's yours. Mm-hmm. You know, it's yes, it's something terrible that happened to you. But there's one thing to have flashbacks and surprise yourself by getting triggered. But when you already know and you went intentionally with your headlamp on and all your like hiking gear and you're going to go down deep in the cave and you got your shovel and you got all your shit that you're going to find the shit with, you know, go get it and put your hand on it so that you can create practices for yourself and say, I know that would be triggering for me. Mm-hmm. So I have to meditate before I go over there and deal with so-and-so.
Right. Clear that space, honey.
You know, we got to
before they come in your space.
Exactly. Because you don't know, you know. So, but if you know, you know, so if you already know, for instance, for me,
that's so good.
I know home was never really right when I was a little girl. Mm. So home is sacred space. So the studio is also home, y'all. You know, so what do I do to protect home and to make it beautiful for the people who are coming in with me? I have to know my wounds in order to know what I have to do to keep my space sacred. Mm. So there's sage burning in the background. Mm-hmm. We got things, you know, to keep our spirits clear and everything, but you have to know that stuff, you know? So I'm just saying that's a little
So now y'all see why me going through the process of writing this book was a form of therapy for me as well. Cause y'all see, she don't play. And I'm just so grateful. Y'all getting this, boys. Y'all getting this nugget.
It is Sunday after all.
Yes, it is. It is Sunday.
We have a question from the audience. You might have to ask it, and then it might have to get re-asked. So let me ask so that the Zoom folks can hear. I re-ask the question, which is, you know, in the Soul of the Full-Length Manuscript, I talk about spelunking, like getting that headgear on and going deep into the cave to get the gems of your wounds. And so Pam is asking, you know, how did you, as you were going through the process of uncovering and reliving the traumas in order to tell the story, how did you keep yourself grounded, you know, while that was happening? Because going through the story for some people, like remembering the things that you have to, and I call it literally remembering, it's picking up your arm, you're putting it back on, you're remembering, you're putting your pieces of yourself back together, which is a positive thing, but it can feel very traumatizing to be like, I got to stitch my arm on. I have to remember that shit that happened to me. So how did you deal with that, with doing that process?
Just in general, even with us.
Yeah.
Allowing myself the space to feel the emotion. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times if you know stuff, like you have to relive stuff, or you think about stuff, or you think about past hurt, pain, trauma, you avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You avoid it. So you might go to the club, or you might drink, or you might smoke, or you might keep busy. You avoid it. You navigate off the road. I stayed on the road.
Yeah, you sure did.
I stayed on the road, and you helped me a lot with that, because you said no feeling. We would be on the phone and I would break down or Zoom or whatever. And I could see it clear as day, my meltdowns when we was going through the process. But you said, I allow myself to feel those emotions. Like, if I wanted to bust a glass, I was busting the hell out of glass.
Yeah.
Crying, snot, and boo-hoo. And a lot of just quiet time to just think about it and process it. And come to the point to understand that, yes, it's trauma for me. This happened to me. But what happened to the person that deflected it on me?
Yeah, exactly.
So what was wrong with my mother? What happened to her to make her get to the point where she felt like it was okay to abandon me, you know? Mm-hmm. What happened to my mom?
Yeah.
I found out what happened to my mom. So just allowing myself to feel the emotion. I'm sorry, you're right there. Mm-hmm. Allowing myself to sit in the emotions and feel whatever it was I was going through, whether I was laughing, whether I was crying, whether I was breaking something, whether I was angry, didn't want to talk to anybody, shut my phone off. I went through every emotion possible with Mama Bear, bringing this to you all. But to take it a step further, after I got through that layer of the emotion side of it, the next layer was to allow grace for the ones who did hurt me, or how I helped hurt myself, or how I mistreated myself. I allowed grace for myself and others, because it's learned behavior. And we only do what we learn, what we grow up with, what we're taught, and what we see. So it's to no one's fault of their own. So gratitude.
Yes. We have another question from this audience, and then Maya, it looks like you have a question too. The question from the audience was, you know, for Shirley, from one of her relatives in the audience, is, now that you've been stitched your arm back on and you put yourself together and you got the book and you've done this work, now, how are you feeling? Where are you at now?
Where I am now? like how I feel literally in this moment, like I'm... How I felt yesterday, I was nervous, been very worried, like about the book and if it's going to be received or how will it sell, or just thinking about all of the stuff that don't matter besides the core of what's in here. But how I feel today, free, like happy. I'm present. I feel alive in this moment right here. I feel safe. Now, what I feel like tomorrow, I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna feel like tonight, but right now, my heart is so full.
Yeah.
And it's beating.
Yeah.
And it's alive and well.
And we have to allow that. Thank you. We have to allow those moments of when it's just like, when you feel good right now, you better tell somebody.
Right.
You know, tell somebody. Because it might only last 10 minutes. You'd be like, let me hurry up and call Jasmine. Oh, Jasmine, I'm feeling good right now. Let me dial up Shirley. Hey, Shirley, guess what's happening right now?
I feel good. I'm gonna start doing that. Like, girl, I feel good. You're like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, but I feel good right now.
Because you know how we get. You know how we get. You know, you see that phone call, you be like, oh Lord, something happened.
Here we go. Yes.
But you gotta remember, because you know, stuff happens. We got a lot of stuff that be happening to us. But you gotta remember also, when you're feeling real good, you better pick up the phone. Be like, hey Victor, Victor, I feel real good. You be like, okay, I'm happy for you, Zelda.
Right. I'll talk to you later.
I'm real happy for you. Okay. And said, yeah, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Thank you very much. Yeah, but we have to do that too. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. I love that question. How are you feeling right now? Because we need to get that testimony, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. So to piggyback off of that, we have a couple of questions. So the first question, which I think these two questions are connected. So this person, you know, you told us about how you're feeling in the moment and you really sat with it and gave us that answer. How are you feeling? Free. I don't know if you can see me, but I was snapping the entire time, right? And so this person really wants to understand, with everything that was going on, is going on, how did you manage to stay present in the moment? And at times when you felt alone, how were you encouraged to keep pushing? So any, either or both of those questions there from the same person.
When I was alone.
Yeah, how did you feel encouraged to keep pushing? I get images when with that question. So I'm gonna give you a for instance.
Okay.
So for instance, when you're in that moment where it is time for you to go and see Dakota for the first time, after she you actually gave birth to her, and there were just actually just a couple of seconds there where you got to see her in that moment, but then it's time for you that night to go and see her, you know, and see this baby who is only, what, 21 weeks?
0 days.
Yeah, 21 weeks.
22 weeks and 0 days.
Yeah, 22 weeks and 0 days. Mm-hmm. And to go and see her body, and she is your child, you know, and it's the moment in the in your story when, you know, you feel together and alone, you know, it's just like, you know, you've got JR is there, Jimmy is there, and then it's that moment where you're going to see your child, you know, so in a moment like that, like, what kept you going, and how did you find a sense of groundedness? So am I re-asking the question properly? Okay.
Well, to be 100% transparent, when I had Dakota, just in general, I was broken. So I couldn't tell anybody nothing about what I'm speaking about today, self-care, self-love, because I was broken to the core. So 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, when I had to go see Dakota in the Omni bed for the first time, I was still going off of instinct. I was still going off of survival skills. I was still going off of, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I have to do. You pray, faith, you keep it moving. But let me be even further transparent. I didn't have a relationship with God back then, like I do now. Yes, believing in God, knowing God, God being like my core, my source, my foundation, is still different than having a personal relationship with Him. So just 4 or 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago this January, to that point, to that question, I was still going off of instinct back then, but now having a personal relationship with God is really quintessential to my growth. Now, but back then I was going off the instinct, survival skills. This is what I got to do. You know, barely ain't even got my pad on good. Still bleeding and everything. All right, come on, the wheel is here. Let me just, this robotic. I think I'm just stupid.
But that's some of that stuff that makes it so that we can keep moving forward. Is that the instincts that got set early in childhood for the things that seemed like, well, that were wounding, you know, of your mother not being able to be there for you and everything, but also at 8 years old, your maternal instincts, we're having to wake up so early in order to take care of your own little brother, you know, and how that, I mean, that moment was able to come back for you, that you had been building your maternal instincts from where you were broken and didn't know what to do, and that could kick in, you know.
Yeah, the sacrifice out of it's all about, it was always about sacrifice and more, you know, just it being bigger than you, like, you know, just like I said, from the lineage of women in my family, like, it was all, I sacrificed, you know, Lynette sacrificed, she got me when she was, got custody of me when she was 21, 20, yeah, and I was 12, so that's like her second daughter, Kiara, getting custody of Demi right now.
Right.
That would Demi's be like 12.
That would be like my daughter, who's 20, getting custody of my grandchild, who started, mm-hmm. just started last month.
Yes, it's
like, wait.
That's what I had to say to Kiara. Like, mm-hmm. Kiara, that's like, your mother got custody of me. It's like you having custody of Timmy right now.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So talk about this, the weights and the sacrifices and the pile up and the build up and the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
We have one more online question. Do we have any other questions from the audience?
We can take another one from online.
Okay. So online, there's an in-person question.
We're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So online, this person wants us to bring us back to the present day, right? And so for anybody who has read the book, they know that you showed a tremendous amount of courage, you know, really just opening yourself up and just writing something that we could all heal from. And so this person wants to know, what do you do to not let some of that enter into your life today? Maybe any of the negativity, and how do you really embrace the positive things that came from writing this book?
Well, it's not just one thing in a nutshell. I still have my days, that's clear. I still have my days where things might, like, you know, pinch, but it's no longer like a twist of the arm or stab, you know, it don't go that deep. Because I just used the word sacrifice. Ooh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I have three daughters. And no shade, but I just didn't see that happening. You know, always worked hard, had two jobs, you know, just grew up seeing the hustle and became a part of the hustle. But when I seen my life, and if I could stand back outside of my body and look at my life in front of me, or look at who I was, always been an amazing person. I will not take that for myself. Always had a heart of gold, yes. Always better to give than receive, and anybody can vouch for that. But when we have to talk about these three daughters that I have to raise, and my bonus daughter, who's in Texas, it had to be another level for me for them not to go through or touch, not even touch what I've touched. Mm-hmm. And that's this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was my sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it all out there. Well, the majority of it, because still not all. Mm-hmm. But this was for them. Mm-hmm. So every time I get down and I feel a way about the book, like how it's going to be received and stuff like that, I just think about me standing in the gap and being in the bush for my children.
Yes.
This is one of the best gifts I would have ever been able to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Family, yes. Friends as well. But for me, I'm on the front line for my family. I'm on the front line for my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting worse. You know, it's not getting easy out here nowadays. It's getting worse. And I stand on that. I stand on Mama Bear.
Mm-hmm.
10 toes down.
Mm-hmm. That's what our stories can do. You know, it's like when you stand in the place, you know, what you have the capacity to do right now by telling your story is, and being honest and telling your truth. And not saying like, I can't tell that part because that part was so bad, I don't want nobody to know. Do the opposite. That part was so bad that I got to let everybody know, because so that when people look at me and they say, how was it that you survived that? They can have that information. So that they're not wondering if they're going to use it against you. Mm-hmm. What is there to use against you if you know your own self and mm-hmm. you know your own stuff? But where you stand in the capacity, because like I said again, you have hands, you have breath, you mm-hmm. have body,
mm-hmm.
you know, your ancestors, they're gone. But you can heal the generations that came before you, the generations that stand here right now, the people you don't know. I love the way this baby girl is looking at me right now, because you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Mm-hmm, girl.
Yes. Yep. She nodded. Yes, she nodded. Okay, I got to come back to
come you. Back.
Come back, Zelda. Okay, but when, you know, the generations before you, the generations that are here, the people you don't know, you don't even know them. They're anonymous to you, but the generations to come and the other people who will read this story. And this is you know, the way that we blow the seeds. We were talking about this before the reading, is that the book is like, it's like blowing the seeds. You don't know where they're going to go. Somebody somewhere in need and pain and in need of this story will be walking somewhere in the most desolate landscape. And we'll see this story pop up and go, oh, just when I, they'll say, just when I needed it. But that can't happen if you don't tell somebody.
Yeah.
If you don't write your story down, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. So it's bigger than us. You know what I mean?
Because, and there's a mama bear in all of us.
Yes, there is.
So guess what? You got to be true to the mama bear.
That's
in you.
Right. And if you ain't a mama, you got one, you know? And so anything you do, and this is what happened on our walk, when we went on our walk in the woods in October, the for the studio, and one of the participants came and she brought her mother. And when we got to the end, the woman, she's about my age, read and said, I don't think that I've ever actually spent time in the woods. And her mother said, yes, you have, because I did when I was a child, and you are of me.
That's deep.
You know, so the things that we do, so we can heal backwards and forwards. Spirit knows no time.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
All right, okay.
I'm be preaching. True.
Wait, I'm preaching again.
Be okay. True.
Yes.
To the mama being
yes.
You.
Yes. One more time, say that again.
Be to the mama bear in you.
Yes.
All of us. Mama bear, papa bear, baby bear, big bear, grand bear. Speak to the head. Auntie bear. Speak to the core.
Yes.
Bear. Speak to the bear in you.
Yes. Yes. We have a question. We have a question. Ooh, that's a good one. What part of the book was the most fun to write?
She's like, What part of the book was the most fun to write? That I enjoyed the most.
Yes.
Was being able to give the resources to help and the jewels that's literally from my heart to yours, from my heart to the readers.
Yes.
Because not only do we come together and, you know, we wrote this beautiful book, but we give them tools, we give them resources on how to apply it to their own life, and we drop jewels. So that was super dope.
And your wisdom, the way it comes out, it is just like jewels, you know, because it's like, but some of it is like, okay, some of the time, y'all don't have to go deep in the cave looking for the jewels. Let me just give you some, you know? And that's beautiful that you have that at the end of every, is it every section or every chapter? I'm lost track. If at the end of every part of the book, you offer people all of this wisdom, you know? And sometimes when we have that, it's like, allow that to be your guide, you know? Sometimes you don't have to go. And what did I used to say when I was a kid? You don't have to go get knocked upside the head.
Right.
You know, you
and
can
it's
just
free.
Follow. Yeah,
you know,
the lesson.
Wisdom. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was good.
Yes, that was good. A good question.
Yes.
The flip side question just came. What was the hardest? What was the hardest thing to write in the book? I think I know that, but I ain't gonna attest to it on your behalf.
Just my mother. Going back to my 8-year-old self, having to pull out my journals from when I was 8 years old, going in my closet and reaching for my journal, having to open it and smell it, like, Rosie, I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and going back, looking at pictures and stuff, just to make sure things was in alignment. That shit was hard. Oh, that was hard. That's why can't nobody step to me today and tell me no nothing. because it is no shade to people out here that's trying to help and inspire and encourage, but I really have an issue with people that's just out here doing it for like money,
yes,
for clout, mm-hmm, because it's people out here that's going through real shit, mm-hmm, and they need real help, mm-hmm, you know, and they might not have resources, might not have money, but when you got somebody that like go through it and has been through it and I just can't even, it's real. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was it, going back to that place. And even with the trailer, having to go back there to film there, mm-hmm, and it was rough, but it was good.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for it. You know what? You know what's crazy? Even to give you a third part of your question that you didn't ask, I'm grateful for it all. I want to take, mm-hmm, nothing back. I want to do no do-overs. Mm-hmm. I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I have no regrets.
How long did you battle?
You want to restate that question for the online audience?
Can you do it?
Yeah. The question was for Shirley, how long did she battle in terms of the back and forth? And this is really good for a lot of y'all who I know are on the call, the back and forth about whether or not to write this book. I'm staring at one of the audience members, but that's for all y'all. You know, how long did you battle going, I will, I won't, I will, I won't. I'll tell that truth. I ain't telling that truth. I'll offer this story. I ain't offer that story.
That was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, honey.
How long?
3 years.
3 years.
Well, I had already knew. It was placed in my spirit eons ago, mm-hmm, that I was going to be an author, that I wanted to write.
Yes.
I always did poetry, like little stuff. I always kept journals.
When you were eight.
When I was eight.
Yes.
That's, mm-hmm, that's how my story to know to be true. I sent the other pictures of it. I'm like, click, 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 click. Handwriting all. Still, yes, smell like roses. My eight-year-old journey. I always wrote. And I don't even know. Let me think. I was in Ohio, Bay Village. I'm looking at the office I was in. I was pregnant with Denver, I think. And I said I was going to start the process. But the crazy part about it is I didn't know what the book was going to be about.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't know.
That's how it ought to be.
I did not know. And I had Dakota.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to share, you know, a piece of that. But, mm-hmm, I had just birthed my Coda Bear.
Yeah.
The nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But I had no clue. I was working with someone else before Zelda. Mm-hmm. And she was great, but she had some family things going on. She was very honest. She was very graceful. Mm-hmm. And we started the process where she had all my personal stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. Voice knows we seen each other in person, but that wasn't a part of God's plan. You were. Yeah. And baby, I'm so happy. But yes, I battled even within going through the process of getting it on the paper. I'm like, ooh. Zelda, could you change this word? Could you please rearrange this? Could we do it this way? I was like, Zelda, I don't know how this goes. I'm sorry. I don't know. But it was really because I was putting everybody before me. Mm-hmm. How she going to feel? How he going to feel?
You better tell your story and just tell your story. You know, everybody will be okay. You know.
So it was tug of war. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'd be in the middle of the night. Oh, no, let me. How many times I read Mama Bear? So yes, Aunt Lisa. Even when it was about the print, I'm like, could we go back and do? Mm-hmm. I'm so serious. People don't even know the half. I was, mm-hmm, looking like, okay.
And some of it is right down to, mm-hmm, the nitty gritty, mm-hmm, because there were things where it's like almost ready to go to print. Mm-hmm. And you're having yet another revelation. I'm like, yeah. Wait, because that's part, mm-hmm, of it. That's part of it. This story is not done.
It's like voice note, voice note me.
Yeah, send a voice note. Yes.
And I would go, and that was therapeutic for me because I would literally drive, right, mm-hmm, from off of my property, mm-hmm, and I would go in town. Mm-hmm. It's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
So I would charge the Tesla.
Yeah.
Go sit up on the hill while the Tesla was charging and I would do my voice notes.
Yeah.
In the middle of just.
Yeah. That's something for everybody. you know, that if you feel like sometimes the story, like I said, if it has to go here first, you know, in terms of, well, how will I say this? How do I, will I write this? If it has to go here first, you're likely to start doing blockages and translations of it that have to do with all of your internal messaging, all of the lies you've been told, all of the ways you've been gaslit, all the things that you believe about yourself that are not true. It's literally to go through all of that. It's going to go through all of that before it comes out here. So one of the things I ask people to go ahead and do is tell your story the way we tell stories. Okay. Well, like this, like you just sit there, turn your phone on and just start telling it. That, and then that way, and then transcribe that rather than trying to type it and you're thinking, no thinking.
Yeah, I tried that too.
Yeah, it
doesn't work. Your method for me was perfect.
Yeah, and that's and that's not my method. That's our indigenous way.
Yeah, I hope I say that. That was the proper terminology.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, I ain't gonna try to. I ain't trying to be the money makers. Well, I'm just like, and deserve the method. Just tell your story with your mouth. You know, it's like, that ain't deserve the method, for real though. You know, it's like, ain't that what we was doing around the fire? Way back in the day. On the front porch. Oh, wait, we are on the front porch. See?
I love porches though.
See, me too. Yeah, and we are in the South, for y'all who don't know. We are proudly down here
in the Cackalacky.
It's nice and warm.
I know. I'm just over there soaking up the sun, trying to get the last minute.
Let's get another one from online, and then we're going to you know, transition into you know, making some things to wrap up here.
Yes, so we actually already asked all of our online questions, so we can transition into our thank yous. And so what I would like to do, if you're okay with it, I would like for everybody on the online call to turn their camera on so that you can get your proper props to see everybody's faces, right? Let's see everybody's faces.
I'm going to change the view so you can see everybody.
Okay, perfect. Yes, yes. Change it to gallery view. We want to see your face. We want to see your face because, as you know, and as you have heard from this conversation, that this book took so much courage, took so much persistence, took so much dedication, took so much thinking about all of us, right? The people who needed your story to heal. And so we want the online audience and the in-person audience to give us all your snaps and your claps because you put in work. We know you did. We know you did. We feel it through the conversation. We feel the love that you put into it. We feel how much you wanted this to be a gift for us. We really do. And so we are so, so, so grateful and hope that you can see that and hear it and feel it. And so please, if you don't have the book already, go to your local independent bookstore and pick up Mama Bear. I promise I've read it. There's so much for everyone in this book. So much. So much about forgiveness, about being a mother, even if you're not a mother, healing from your own mother story, just if you're a writer, about how to really offer emotional truth, right? How to really summon your courage. There is so, so, so much for everyone in this book. And so I really encourage everyone to go to your local independent bookstore. I dropped a link in the chat so you can make sure you see it. There's books on the shelf there. Please, please go and support. It's absolutely beautifully written and beautifully inspiring. So please support. And
y'all, the people.
Yes! Hello! Hello, studio! Hello, studio! So good to see you all. And so,
can we take a screenshot of you all?
Yes!
So hold up your book. Hold up your book. Or hold up your smile.
Yes!
One, two, three.
Give one more! Give one more! All right. beautiful. And so we also, of course, want to thank Zelda. As you have heard, Zelda is such a godsend for our space and, you know, just one of those people who is just a treasure that it is amazing, right? So I just want to, if you'll indulge, do a brief testimonial. Because, you know, for me, I was one of those people who was in the audience who read her books for like years, okay? And I was like, I want to take a workshop, but, you know, I read online that her book was chosen for one of Oprah's book clubs. And, you know, I just don't think that I'm a good enough writer for that, right? Years, these thoughts, right? And then one day I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to sign up, right? I wasn't that brave. So I did the personal consultation first. So it'd be just me, her, you know. And what I found out was that I didn't need to be thinking about any of those things, because she never once in all the years that I've taken workshops with her, which is many years, all of them that she's ever offered, that she doesn't say whether your writing is good or bad. The only thing she's ever going to say is if she feels and you feel to search for you to your feeling about whether you offered the emotional truth of that story, whether you were honest, whether you really gave something to people for yourself to heal from and from for other people to heal from. And can I also just say, so I'm a psychologist, y'all, and a professor, and Aggie Pride, I was a professor at North Carolina A&T for many years. So what's amazing about Zelda, when I tell you that I did more healing in her workshops than years of paying for counselors, right? Because, you know, I believe in having a primary care counselor, right? Like you have a primary care doctor, I believe in having a primary care counselor. But, and I'm not, you know, that's important too. And also, really working with somebody who stretches you to tell the truth and to really just dig down in there and offer it to yourself and to not just offer it as a way to be like, woe is me, but to say, you know, what revelations, what did I get from having that experience, right? And so, you know, what's amazing is there's so many different ways to participate in that experience, right? So you can do it virtually. You can walk in the woods. That's one of my personal favorites. You can do, you know, individual consultations. And so I posted the link to the website so you can see all of these things are options that are of things that are coming up in November. So if you're like me and you've had it in your heart to finish your story, to start your story, I definitely think, you know, just baby steps, take a workshop. And now I can say, you know, I'm published in literary journals, you know, so I didn't just get the healing part, but I also got, you know, the publishing part, you know, which she pushes you to as well, because that's one of my things. I'll write it in my journal. I have my journal from when I was 8. But for a long time, all of my stuff just stayed in my journals. And so pushing you to really realize that what you have is a gift for the world and make sure that they see it. So that link is in the chat as well. And then finally, one of the things that of course you all know is that Shirley has not just written a book, but she has really made this about her life, right? And so, you know, her nonprofit, Coda Bear, the resources in the back of the book. If you find yourself coming across someone who needs any of the work that she's doing, let them know, right? There's a link in the chat, and you can access these resources in the back of the book for yourself if you need them, or if you know somebody else who might need them. And so I find that to be just really an amazing part of the book as well. And then finally, we're a community, right? So what I also want us to do as I round out the thank yous is I want us to stay in touch. So I'm going to drop my Instagram in there. I'm going to drop Zelda's Instagram in the chat, Shirley's Instagram in the chat. And you all also feel free to drop your Instagram in the chat so that we can stay connected, right? as Black women who need each other and who, you know, the writing and the healing works best if you do it in community. And so really making sure that you drop your information in the chat so that we can support each other and stay connected. And then finally, all of this happens through a community, right? So the audience, everybody in the in-person audience and the online audience, you are part of this community, and we thank you. We thank you for coming. We thank you for being here on this Sunday. We thank you for sharing in this journey, for your questions and for your listening. We thank you. And also, part of this community is the behind the scenes, right? So the board members. So people here like Pamela Thompson and Tracy Willard, who are other members of the board who make sure that events like this happen and that we're doing things that the community really calls for and needs. And of course, we have community supporters, people like Pat Harris, people like Dr. Candace Parrish, people like Jennifer Bills and Leslie Cunningham. And we just want to say that we thank you and that we know that none of this is possible without you.
And shout out to Jasmine Bathia, who has been working with the studio and doing just loving work. Okay, I have some. Thank you. Yes, and Alex Lockhart, who just be, that's my daughter. She's the behind the scenes queen.
Yes.
Like twice this week. Boom, boom, do some stuff. You know, like, oh yeah, mama, I got you. Boom, boom, do a little couple things and bye. You know, like, she knows how to make, you know, some things roll around here. Absolutely. So thank you, Maya, because Maya came in and like some serious backbone.
Thank you.
You know how they used to say, you know, you better sit up straight. Yeah. You know, you better, you know, make it look like you got a backbone. You know, that's Maya. Maya be like, I'll be the backbone. You know, so you're definitely so appreciated for all of the ways that you, you know, continue to stand in and believe in the mission of the studio and the stuff I've been trying to do. You know, I'll be going. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And so we're going to allow you all to close it out. Any final closing words to transition us out? And, you know, we wish we could be there in person to hug all of you. So virtual hugs to everyone. And we're so grateful and so thankful. So please close us out with any words you wanted to close us out with.
That's funny. This book is full of words. I know. And now we're like, words? I'll play the game.
You play the game, and I'll, while you're playing the game, this game. I would just say be encouraged. Love on yourself and make sure each and every one of you do something today that will make you smile. Mm-hmm. Know that you are where you are, within reason, within purpose. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. It gets better. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yes.
I love you all. I love you. Aww. I love you. And I'm grateful. Thank you guys.
Yay. I'll just say take all of you with you wherever you go. Don't leave any part of yourself at home. Don't leave any part of yourself outside of anything that you go to do, anyone you go to talk to. If you have lost your discernment and you don't know who to spend time with, where to work, which place is home, then ask yourself, what are the places where you cannot bring all of you with you? Those are the places where you can consciously say, I don't belong there, because that is not my home, you know, that is not mine. And you can seek and find and remember what is by taking all of you with you.
Yeah, that's about right.
On that note,
yes.
Thank you all so much for thank being you guys. With us.
Yes, thank you.
Tell somebody. Hey, Papa Auntie. Hey, Lee. Hey, Jen, Tracy, Tajane, Ish, Adele, Janine,
Aisha,
Nadine, Deidre, hey, TT. Lee, right, always gonna, in the car.
We're going to play a game here.
All right, love y'all.